Look just with me a little bit, will you, in now the 12th chapter of John, where you get, should we say something, there again that's pleasurable to the heart of Christ. 12th chapter of John, Gospel of John, Jesus therefore 6 days before the Passover, sent to Bethany, where was the dead man, that of Jesus raised from among the dead. There, therefore, they made him a supper. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those that sat at the table with him. Mary, therefore, having taken a pound of ointment of pure nard, of great price, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 12. While the king is at his table, mice what thou sendeth forth his fragrance. A bundle of flour is mine to love and to keep. He shall cast a net between my breasts. My beloved is unto me a cluster of henna flowers in the vineyards. Beloved brethren, one feels, does one not, at least a little bit of a challenge as to what we've got that delights the heart of God and refreshes the heart of God. The emphasis surely have been, and the center, should we say, of all readings has been, as it were, that lovely 13th chapter of the epistle we have been considering. There it is, there is a desire which is good in itself, that we should desire the best of it. If God could say, I can show you the way. We find that in that beautiful chapter of the 13th of the First Corinthians. That way, surely, beloved brethren, is the way. The very next the verse of the next chapter, it says, follow after chapter. There are brethren here, beloved brethren, into whose faces that we can look. And there's one particularly who uses that word charity, and the very way in which he says it is something lovely in itself. In this particular instance, I love to picture this scene, this 12th chapter of John's Gospel, with the cross lowering before him. He comes to this place, perhaps the one spot on earth, might be the one family near Jerusalem, in which, as it were, he would be received and loved. In this household, we see, do we not, things in order. Martha is in her own position, so Lazarus is in that blessed position of time. But Mary, the one that sat at his feet and listened to his word, that as it were, was something of the breathings of his blessed heart, she could take that from the boy. That costly ointment, that I believe which she had saved up, may have been for some special occasion in her life. And yet she puts it, that costly, pure, precious enough. The thing that she valued possibly most in this world, of her position, she could anoint the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He, the Lord, could say, He hath done this for me. I believe Mother sensed that there was something that the heart of Mary understood that was in advance and beyond the appreciation even of the 12 that were sitting there. Judas could say, why was not this valuable sold for so many pence and given to the poor? Might be a good thought in itself, but how could a good thought come from such an evil, a selfish and a treacherous heart? But beloved, may not thoughts like that ever come into our hearts. There is one that's supreme, that demands the very best we can give. The poor we have with us always. He could say, but me, ye have not always. What a blessed, precious privilege is, beloved brother. As we have had it pressed upon us more than once, the blessedness, preciousness of that privilege with the emblem on the table, the bread and the wine, to be able to remember the blessed Lord in his death, that he shall come. He says, with desire, with great desire, have I desired to eat this with you before I suffer. May it be, beloved brethren, in some greater, grander way, that we can bring that which we have. I believe, beloved, my father used to say to me, what have you in the house? Surely there's something that we've got that we can present to God of the savor of Christ that will delight the heart of God, that will refresh the heart of Christ. As we see in a way in which the heart of God, that wonderful heart of God, has been brought out to us in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's astounded me, beloved brother, to find out as we've gone through these readings and this ministry that we have seen how much Christ desires our company. How he desires our presence. It says in this blessed Psalm of Psalms, and how each one of us would love to be in this state that we get in this first chapter. While the king is at his table, surely he brings before us, as we have already had, the preciousness of the 45th Psalm, where the heart is in dirty heart. Where the tongue is a pen of a ready flavor, where we speak things that have been composed concerning the King. I trust I'm right, beloved brethren, in putting these two together as a kindred thought of the importance of the one that we come together to meet on the morning, and how much, as I have said, our appreciation of him means to him. He could say in this Psalm of Songs, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse, with one of thine eyes, with one chain. How precious it is to the Lord to see him as the one that we look to with a single eye. He fills the eye. He fills the heart. He fills the soul. He has first place in our affections. And surely in this condition, he is delighted to be with us, in our company, to lead the praises that would ascend God and Father. manifestation of his love. Beloved brethren, it's a great privilege. I've enjoyed these meetings immensely. It would appear that the Spirit of God has been, should I say, energetic in, as it were, drawing out the affections of our hearts to God, to Christ, and to one another. It brings to my mind that quotation in Hosea. Hosea, I believe, 11. I have drawn them with cords of love, with bands of a man. Surely, beloved brother, the time we have spent together has been well spent. We trust each heart has been established in the things that matter, the things that are more excellent, the things possibly that amount to most important in the sight of God, that these meetings and whatever we do should primarily be for the pleasure of God. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. We know, beloved brethren, this is prophetic language himself. But how true we believe to be. I believe if we were nearer the heart of Christ, if we knew a little more, as it were, the feelings and the longings of his heart, we should respond, we should have something greater, and something better to give him when we come together on the Lord's Day. Take that awful occasion at Calvary, where he was there upon the cross, like a stripping of his clothes, and partly rent amongst the soldiers, like a cast lot. Like a stripping, like a crowning of a crown of thorns. And at the end of it all, we can see, as it were, and hear him say, when all had been done to him, when all the hatred of man pent up, and yet the hand of God, as it were, had been taken off, so that the very worst could be done to that man. And it was said of him, his face was marred more than any man. We've been talking during the week, we both attempted to pick up that blessed man. To think of it really is to bow the soul. To think that any man or anybody would appreciate the sufferings in that hour when saints are God's love and our sins were his to bear alone. May something of what is done, what he has been, make an impression on our hearts. Dear, the desire of each one of us here is that Christ would be pleasing to worship with one of our hearts. That when we come together, the heart would be free. That there's less waiting. That there's less less thoughts of self. But that this odor being poured forth of the fragrance of Christ by one another, it will fill the house, beloved brother, and everyone will receive, I believe, not only Christ himself, but everyone will receive the fragrance of Christ as it is spread abroad in the world. This means too feeble word, beloved. Friends, I think I might end my short word in that which the apostle ends to the second to the Corinthians. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the